Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how you doing today?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well. It has been a whirlwind week or two with setting up the new studios and going to parties, and we're kind of wrapping it up with some great segments today and tomorrow.
That's right. Last week, we were in Wilmington, North Carolina, setting up our first out-of-state studio for Business Radio X in Wilmington. And this past Monday, we were at the Georgia World Congress Center at the CEO Council celebrating the Junior Achievement event that they had going on there. It was quite an event.
It was. We caught up with some old friends, made some new ones, and I had not been there before, but that JA Business Center, where all those little, what would you call those? They're not kiosks. They're not booths.
It looks like kind of faux storefronts that the different corporations around town have sponsored and helped the high school kids learn about business through their perspective.
Maybe we'll set up a WIT radio studio there sometime.
Yeah, we can dream about something like that.
But let's introduce the WIT folks with us, because we have the Women in Technology folks with us this morning. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast three ladies. We have Jennifer Falk with Centel. We have Annika Garbers, who is a Girls Get It WIT winner. And we have Miss Denise Reese, Vice President of WIT Foundation. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
So, Denise, give us a little bit of a feel, if you would, for those of our listeners who may not know, mission and purpose of WIT. Give us that overview, if you
Absolutely.
Would.
So, thanks again for having us. Very excited to be here. But WIT is we are the premier organization for women in STEM in Atlanta. And our goal is to be passionate advocates for women in technology and to have programs that facilitate women at all phases and stages of their career. So, we have our pre-career program with Girls Get IT that Annika is a part of. We also now have our WIT on Campus program that takes Girls Get IT to the next level. So those young ladies that were joining us in junior and high school, once they get into college and are majoring in STEM careers, we want to make sure that they continue on that path. And then we, of course, have our leadership development programs on for women that are already in their careers as well. So leadership foundations, executive readiness. So really a full life cycle of career development opportunities for women in the STEM fields.
Now, STEM is science, technology, engineering, math, and that seems to be where a lot of the job growth potential is.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And Atlanta in particular is just really, we are so tremendously fortunate to have some amazing organizations here, but also to have such significant opportunity for STEM careers as well. I think there's around 10,000 open positions as we speak in the various STEM disciplines.
Right. Their unemployment rate is negative, right?
Absolutely. One of the only areas that continues to grow exponentially.
And then the challenges for educating the kids is to get them engaged and connected to those classes so they stick with it and graduate with some expertise in that area. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a college degree, right? There's
Absolutely.
Some technical training that can also help them get jobs in that area.
Most definitely. And certainly from a WIT perspective, it really is about reaching girls and giving them the opportunities, letting them know, first of all, you can do this. You can code.
Right.
You can get into this space and create just an awesome career. And it is as much about innovation and creativity as it is about the technology acumen.
Now, women are disproportionately involved in STEM. Right?
Correct.
Do you have any numbers or anything
so
kind
I
of
think
ballpark that?
The numbers are they're growing, but not by nearly enough as they should be. I think it's now around 15-20%
right.
of STEM career folks are women, which we're working on increasing that.
Right. That's one of your objectives, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to certainly move that needle exponentially to the 50% mark, certainly here in Georgia by 2020. And watch this space. We've got some great ways to make that happen.
Right. Are you getting them younger and younger?
Most definitely. Certainly, we're seeing girls as young as sort of the fifth, sixth grade mark. And that's really it's almost too late by that point.
Really?
You really want to start getting them.
In the fifth or sixth grade.
You really want to start introducing them. And I've had the privilege of working with some folks over at Georgia Tech that have programs that can teach kids as young as two, three years old how to start doing some very basic programming.
That's my level of programming.
It's mine too. So join the club. But that you really want to get them as young as possible so that as they start progressing into middle school, high school, that they not only have the desire, but they want to continue and they really see this as an area for them to grow.
Now, to me, it's interesting because girls and women, they use the technology all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So it's not that they don't like technology.
No, it's not. We just have to let them know that, okay, you're using the technology. How about you become the person that creates that technology?
So that's the leap you're trying to make.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
So I want to bring in our Girls Get IT. Right, winner, Annika Garbers. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us how you got involved with this whole effort.
Well, I got involved with the Women in Technology Girls Get IT program through robotics, but that is not an opportunity that all girls have. A lot of people that are involved in the programs get involved in them through their school or people they know or if they have connections with their parents or friends in the technology community. But you just kind of start going to the events. If you go to one event, then they'll sign you up for the mailing list and you get to get involved with all the things that are going on. And there's awesome programs like the Behind the Scenes program where you get to go to companies and talk to people that work there and learn about what their jobs are like. The Job Shadow program over the summer. All kinds of really great opportunities, and the more you do, the more involved you get, and the better your network gets. And it's really cool to be able to be in high school and have these kind of opportunities.
So now, what was the impetus for you? What got you first involved?
In women in technology?
Right.
That was probably through my robotics team. WIT sponsored us for our first year
of
robotics.
So in high school, there was a robotics team?
In middle school.
In middle school.
Yeah.
Even before that. So you said, boy, I wish there was a robotics thing in middle school. I mean, like, or there was one and you said, I'm going to join that team. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I've been involved in a program called FIRST, which is robotics, a robotics program for ages all the way from 6 years old all the way through high school. And I got involved in that with my family. We were just kind of looking around for things to do that were kind of creative and involved like with science and engineering. And
right,
that.
Like some families, like, they go camping. But you guys build robots.
Sort of, yeah. So it starts, I started in elementary school with the junior first Lego League, and that's just where you kind of, there's a lot of learning involved, but it's mostly you build like a model out
right.
of.
Are there a lot of girls pieces. In that program?
There really aren't. I am really, my robotics team is the exception, kind of, because we are an all-girls team, and that's kind of a rare thing, actually.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's probably because of the, I don't want to say stigma, but that's kind of what it is surrounding girls in kind of geek culture, especially being younger. There's sort of two different areas of technology culture now. There's the business culture, which is like awesome and growing, and I love the fact that more women are getting involved in technology careers as they get older, but especially for younger girls, being that nerd kid or being that kid that's interested in technology or math or engineering, it's not the cool thing at this point, especially if you are a girl, because you're kind of challenged and you're looked upon as being, you know, faking it or not actually interested or anything like that.
So how do your peers see you?
Well, it's kind of interesting because my robotics team has been relatively successful. We've been in the top three teams in the state for the past 3 years. And at first, it was kind of like, what are you doing here? Why are you, girls build robots? And then after you start doing better and people kind of realize that you have potential and that you can do this and, whoa, girls can code and do things like this, then...
Now you're the cool kids?
Yeah. And I mean, that's been an awesome opportunity because then we've been able to do things like outreach events that help us to inspire other girls.
Right.
They think,
you become the role model,
you can do this,
right?
We can do this too, yeah.
And that's Denise, that's important, right? To for the other kids to see that a role model, this can happen, I can be this, I can do this, right?
Absolutely. And that's a huge goal that the Girls Get IT program has and WIT on Campus as well, is to make sure that the girls have the opportunity to network with each other, because mm-hmm. it's one thing to have someone, you know, my age or older to mentor, but it's not as profound as when you have someone that's your peer.
Right.
So how does all this get funded, Denise?
It gets funded through our awesome community partners. And I know that we've got Centel here represented today.
How fortunate.
Great segue,
what
right?
What a coincidence.
Do you like how I did that?
Nicely done. Well, let's introduce her and get her in this conversation.
All right, so jump in there. You got to get close to the mic.
And this is Jennifer Falk with Centel. Are we saying that right?
You are.
Welcome to the show. Well, we are delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about Centel and tell us what compelled you guys to get involved with WIT.
Okay. Centel is a IT services development firm based in Duluth, Georgia, in Gwinnett County. We opened up. We're a privately held firm in 2003.
And let it be noted for the record that Jennifer is female. I want to make that clear. We're on the radio here. That is part of the thing. Okay, go ahead.
And we provide services to Fortune 500 companies in the area of IT development, support, and maintenance. Mm-hmm. And why did we get involved? Well, obviously, I think a testimonial has just occurred. Mm-hmm. There are not enough women in the IT industry, in the IT field. If they are represented, they're primarily represented on the business side or the support and back office side. They're underrepresented in small firms, privately held firms, as well as large corporations. So we need to do our part to give back to the community and support financially organizations like WIT, like Girls Get IT. So we're doing our part in building a generation of female leaders.
Now, in Centel, is that a woman-owned business?
No.
Okay, so what? There's a million things that a company could sponsor. Why was it important for them to get involved in WIT?
Because there's a commitment to growing underrepresented individuals in right. the field of STEM, from education all the way through to employment. And so we want to be a part of that. And not only do we want to be a part, we want to be a leader. When WIT came out with this award, the Girls Get IT, in 2012, we became the first sponsors and have already committed for the next decade.
Yes.
It's that important. The next decade?
The next decade.
Would you like to come be a salesperson at the Business Radio X Network? The next decade. That's fantastic.
Yes. It's really, really important. It's important, and not only do nonprofits or organizations like WIT need to do their part, corporations do, and it's not just the financial support. I mean, corporations have an obligation in the community to take a look at their candidate pool and to come up with strategic policies, processes, and practices to attract the best and the brightest, and you cannot do that leaving out 50% of the general population.
Now, when you decided to get involved in this program, are you obviously there was probably some financial investment, but is there also an investment of your personnel and involved in mentoring and getting the kids into your company to see how it works and shadowing people and things like that?
I would say that we're at the immature stage in terms of our relationship with WIT.
Right, it's because it's kind of new, right?
It is. It is kind of new. And WIT has a great entree for corporations in terms of corporations can volunteer their associates to help with the networking events and matters such as that, the training. So we started there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became a financial investor in the Girls Get IT program. And this year we've started for the first time inviting all of the alumni, all of the young girls, to our corporate events.
Wow.
We just came out of a bowling party, and we're fortunate that Annika wants a career in IT, because she's definitely not going to be a bowler. That is true. But so we've started there, and then we'll continue to grow. There are some job shadowing opportunities that we're looking at. Annika, I don't know, you haven't really delved into her background, but she manages 60 or 70 journalists around the world with something she developed when she was in sixth grade.
Yes.
So we're talking about her being able to compose a newsletter for Centel to help our community understand some of the challenges and obstacles about being a female, and a young female at that, in the field of technology.
I want to learn more about that. Tell us about this managing all these journalists. I can't get two or three people across the street without getting hurt.
Well, I mean, it was interesting. So I am a homeschooled student. So when I was, I was in sixth grade, I was talking to my friend and we were like, hey, you know what's something that I really miss about not being in public schools? We don't have a school newspaper. But there's still stuff going on in our lives and in the homeschooling community and everything that we want to tell people about. And so we both liked writing and we both liked organizing people, bossing people around in sixth grade, you know. And so we decided, hey, let's get a couple of our friends together and start this newsletter magazine thing. And it just kind of grew, and it grew really fast, and we were really surprised. And so by, I think, seventh or eighth grade, we had a website set up, and we were using webs.com, which was just a free website hosting service that we found. And we realized that we were kind of growing out of that. And so I got involved in Drupal, which is a content management system. I've presented at Drupal Camp for the past couple of years because I really, really love the system and the open source community and everything around that. But our staff members are great. We just kind of reach people through other people, and a lot of our original people have graduated now, but we have like their siblings are on the staff and everything like that. So it's awesome. I really like the kids in the community.
So now what's the what's that called?
We have two websites now. There's Hey Homeschoolers and Hey Homeschoolers Teen, because we had to branch off.
And then it's the kids that are homeschooled write stories about being homeschooled or just about their lives?
About anything. So we have stories, we have photographers and artists, and we have people that make videos or write songs, and it's just kind of a magazine of compilations of creative works by homeschooled kids.
And it's user-generated content?
Yep.
And this transcribed interview, I bet you, pops up in there somewhere for too long, right? the transcription,
yes,
of this interview.
Absolutely.
We got to get that in
yeah.
or do we have to go through some sort of vetting process before?
I don't know. I think I might have authority over whether this one gets through.
Perfect. Denise, you must be beaming with pride and walk around with your chest poked out the entire time. To have sponsors that are committed like this and to have people like Annika involved in your program, what a marvelous way to invest your life.
It really is. And you know, it's been a great journey for WIT. We've celebrated 20 years last year, and I've been a part of the organization for the last 5 years. And I remember starting out when the Girls Get IT program was just sort of kicking off. I was one of the program directors and had also just started my board tenure. And to see where we are now, to see Annika here, to have Centel here, to think about the other partners that we work with. It's been an amazing ride. And I know that 2014 is just going to be a spectacular year. It's super exciting.
So now in your role as part of the foundation, you help attract corporate sponsors like Centel, right?
We do. And we also, in addition to attracting sponsors, which I just want to chime in on something that was said earlier, that this is not just about attracting girls into STEM. Obviously, that's a huge part of what we do. But we also want to ensure that we're working with our community partners on workforce development opportunities, because it's just as much workforce development as it is about corporate social responsibility and all of those things. So I wanted to just mention that. But absolutely, we do certainly attract other corporate sponsors. But then we also do charitable giving as well. So we give quite a bit of money to the community. So we give to other not-for-profits. We're a huge sponsor of Georgia First and the First Robotics Organization. So we not only take money in, but we also give back to the community as well. So that's extremely important for us.
And it seems like the way that you work with corporate sponsors are that you build you help them build a program that just fits them, customized to what their needs are and what your needs are?
To a certain extent, yes. And we do that by, you know, understanding what are their goals and objectives. So we have, you know, a partner recently that came on board that wanted to really focus on the WIT on campus piece, because they certainly wanted to look at how they could start getting entry-level folks in. And we were able to craft an agreement that helped to meet that need, but also helped to further the cause of WIT and WIT on campus as well. So by all means, we can craft a solution that makes the most sense for our partners.
Now, what would you say your greatest need is right now?
Our greatest need is funding, funding, and funding. So
those are your three greatest needs.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we can't do what we do without having the funds to be able to execute. And certainly we want to be able to bring in more volunteers, get folks really interested in the organization, not just from a funding standpoint, because, you know, it's very easy just to write a check and to disengage.
Right.
But we do want folks to really be in partnership with us for the long haul and help us to meet our long-term strategic goals and objectives.
Jennifer, there's a phrase in the business world that I'm sure you're very familiar with. Nobody ever got fired by hiring IBM. And I'm getting to the idea that nobody ever got fired by supporting WIT. That you must be a real hero back at Syntel for facilitating all of this.
No, actually, I'm not, because it's our founder that actually facilitated all of this. It isn't an HR. It wasn't a human. I'm the vice president of human resources. It wasn't a human resources initiative at all. It was our founder who believes in WIT, and made the financial contribution. Now it's my responsibility to integrate that commitment in a larger way, not only through allowing opportunities for young women to job shadow and understand the industry, but also to promote our own responsibility toward women in workforce development, whether that's through hiring, mentoring, promoting leadership opportunities at higher and higher levels in the organization.
Well, I know you won't keep your light under a bushel. You know, Lee Cantor founded Business Radio X, but I'm taking all the credit from here forward for anything that happens well. So don't let that stop you.
Now, you mentioned that the founder, Jennifer, you mentioned that the founder was the kind of catalyst for this. Now that it's kind of being integrated into your company and obviously a commitment over 10 years, now that you have that tool at your disposal, how is it being, how are the employees, are they appreciating it? Is this something that they're getting behind and they're, you know, they're following through and they're wanting, excited about it?
Yes. I think that the first introduction from up until 2012 or through the initial Girls Get IT winner, it really was a solo contribution, and our founder and maybe a couple of other people
right.
were very engaged in WIT. And this year, when we started doing our employee events and inviting not only the winner but all of the nominees for Girls Get IT,
right.
I think our employees were very, very proud. In fact, they took home most of the winnings from their all-girl bowling team. So they were a little jealous.
We had the highest score and the lowest score.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
Nicely played.
So yes, the employees are very proud of what we're doing.
And they're embracing the cause as well?
They are absolutely embracing the cause. And our contributions in the community extend beyond Girls Get IT. We're really committed to education of youth, period. And mm-hmm. so those are you know, when you look at our other financial contributions, that's where they all live within the education and technology community.
Now, Denise, surprise, surprise,
yes.
In doing all of my pre-show research that I was doing while Jennifer was talking, you're director of business development.
Yes.
For a company, Macquarium.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out to Macquarium, because if it wasn't for them allowing me to do what I do in the community, I wouldn't be able to be here. So very appreciative of that. But Macquarium is an experience design studio here in Atlanta. So we help our clients to design all of the touch points that their customers and employees have with their brand. So talk about fusing technology with creative. It's just an amazing place to work, and we're doing some phenomenal things here in Atlanta and beyond.
And that's great that they give you the opportunity to give
yeah.
back to the community.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that what you do from a community service standpoint is directly linked to what you do in your day job. I've been able to meet some amazing people, foster some fantastic business relationships, and often, you know, have been able to find other business opportunities for the company because I was going to a WIT meeting and talking about Girls Get IT or WIT on campus and helping to craft an agreement with a strategic partner. And then it becomes by the way, what does Macquarium do again?
Right, what's your day job?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, because I do have one of those, even though it seems like WIT is my day job, and I wish it was. But you know, you've got to keep the lights on as well.
Right.
So, Annika, what's next for you? I get the idea that you always have one or more activities and lots of plans in front of you. What? How are you going to invest your time in the coming year, you think?
Well, I need to finish high school.
That is
the plan. I plan on finishing high school as a homeschool student, but I'm also going to dual enroll at Kennesaw State, and then I want to transfer to a technology school for a degree in systems engineering and project management. So I'm looking forward to that, and definitely still being involved in the robotics community with WIT and the Girls Get IT programs, and doing as much as I can to continue inspiring and helping other girls get interested in STEM, because that's something I'm really passionate about.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you come in the studio. You're a real inspiration. You're a great deal of fun to talk with, and you got to come back from time to time.
You
just have so much energy, and well, you can have Lee's chair.
You can help us build in maybe an audio version of your newsletter.
That's right. That would be great. Absolutely. And let's get some coordinates for that newsletter. Let's let people know how to learn more about this newsletter.
Yeah, heyhomeschoolers.com, heyhomeschoolersteen.com. We have a Twitter and a Facebook, so if you just Google us, we're around.
Right, and if we have any Drupal problems with our website, we can call you. IT support.
Or you can call Aquarium. We'd be able to help you with that, too.
Oh, now she's trying to compete.
Man.
You could also call Cinta.
It's a room full of
like you threw a $20 bill in the middle of the table.
I didn't know.
Well, Annika, don't go anywhere. I want you to hang out with us while we visit with all of our next guests. But yeah, it's been an absolute delight. We're definitely
so going
to have you back. And Lee, I mean, seriously, we need to get her in here to talk about doing audio stuff. So I want to make sure that we have coordinates for Cintel and Aquarium, and I want to make sure that we know about upcoming events for WIT.
Sure.
And so let's start with you, Jennifer, make sure that we know how to reach out and learn more about Cintel services.
You can just Google www.cintel.com, S-C-I-N-T-E-L.com.
And then Denise from Aquarium.
www.macquarium, macquarium.com. And if you want to stay engaged with women in technology, it's www.mywit.org.
And you're going to find time in your schedule to come do some biz dev for us, too?
Hey, you know, there's always an opportunity.
Hey, listen, we're going to get you to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest. If you and Jennifer stay with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Fantastic.
Thank you.
All right. So next up on Atlanta Business Radio today, we have some folks from Ground Floor. We have with us Mr. Nick Bargava. How'd I do? Give us a nod.
Would
we do all right with that?
No, you got it.
That was bad.
And Brian Daly, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So tell us, we'll start with you, Brian. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Ground Floor is a new website that allows consumers, unaccredited investors here in Georgia, to earn 5 to 10% secured on their money. So today, anybody who has bank deposits, saving for a house, saving for a vacation, is sitting there earning less than 1%, can turn around and put it into real property here in Atlanta and earn 10x that.
He was looking right through me when he said earning 1%, because I'm probably doing well to be earning that, if anything. It sounds like a fabulous opportunity. Now, is this a product of some of the new legislation that's come down here in Georgia?
Or? Yeah, that's why we're here in Atlanta. Georgia is a hotbed of crowdfunding. We are really on the vanguard here in Georgia with a new piece of legislation that was passed here that allows unaccredited investors to get access to the investment opportunities that have, you know, up till now really only been available to people who are wealthy and in the top 2% of earners and wealth holders in the country.
So now this is crowdfunding for real estate?
Yeah, we look at real estate as a great backstop for a crowdfunding investment. I mean, when the Jobs Act was passed a year and a half ago, actually, Nick helped with significant parts of that legislation as it went through. He's an expert in this area, which is why we're teamed up. When the Jobs Act was passed, there was a lot of enthusiasm about the ability to invest in startups and small businesses.
No, absolutely. To me, I forgot, what was that blog post I read that they're worried about people investing in startups because, you know, there's risk. They're high risk investors.
There is risk. And I think,
but they'll let them go to a casino.
Sure.
Right? You can go to a casino with as much money as you want, and you can lose all your money in 5 minutes, but they're trying to protect us from investing in startups.
Yeah, and some protection is frankly warranted. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, startup investing.
Should we do the same protection at casinos? We make them vet them the same way?
In fact, I used to be in the online gambling business, and there are protections at the casino.
Really? But I can't walk into a casino right now and spend all my money.
Well, you can.
They'll take as much as, trust me, I was exactly. in the business, we'll take as much as you'll let us right. to a point. But I think there's some measure. There's some extent to which startup investing is appropriate for people, and there's some measure to which it's not. And the legislation that's on the books in Georgia speaks to that. The legislation on the books federally speaks to that. We just looked at crowdfunding and said, look, in the world of capital, debt is 3 times the size of equity. Everyone's excited about putting mm-hmm. equity into startups. Our view is that that's not necessarily – that might be appropriate for a small part of your portfolio. But in fact, we are all debt holders as it is. Anybody who has money in the bank, anybody who has money in a certificate of deposit in a savings account, you are a debt holder. You're just not being paid much for it. What Groundfloor does is cut out the middleman and give that money to you instead of the bank.
So you mentioned the term unaccredited investor,
right.
which makes me think there must be such a thing as an accredited investor. What's the difference?
Nick, everybody's pointing to you.
You must be the brains.
So federal law creates a category of investor called the accredited investor. And this is a high net worth individual. We're talking about people who have an income of $200,000 plus a year or a liquid net worth of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who finance venture capital funds, who participate in private equity funds, who are able to invest in hedge funds.
Now, but are they the angel investor as well?
That's correct. They're also angel investors. These okay. are, you know, it's kind of the lifeblood of private capital in the United States. But these are also the investments that return, on average, something like 30 cents more on the dollar than what you and I have access to.
You're just assuming that I'm not that.
So that's why the rich get richer, right? And we're going to let Joe Sixpack get in on some of this.
And let's just give a shout out to the angel investors. We do like them.
Yeah. They're extremely important. That's just how capital formation works in the United States. But we're also about access and access to opportunity.
Right.
And we think that what we have is a tool that gives you access to this asset class that people did not have access to before.
So now the Jobs Act was a national federal act, right?
That's
correct. Georgia has unique laws regarding crowdfunding. Isn't that right?
That's right. So financial regulation in the United States, like many different types of regulated industries, has a federal level of regulation and a state level of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes deal with one, sometimes deal with the other, and sometimes they overlap. The Jobs Act deals with capital formation that crosses state lines. Broadly speaking, it's federal regulation that anyone can use regardless of the state you live in.
So that means that if my startup's here in Georgia, somebody in Wyoming could invest in it.
If you use one of the Jobs Act
right.
exemptions, then yes, you can do that.
Georgia has unique laws that people within Georgia can invest in Georgia-related investments.
That's right. That's the great thing about Georgia, actually. Georgia took a very progressive view of crowdfunding and crafted some crowdfunding regulation that's very, very fluid and very easy to use. And we already have successful examples of companies in Georgia that have used these regulations mm-hmm. to finance
and
themselves.
And that's why you guys are here, right? Or part of the reason why you're here?
That is part of the reason we're here.
Well, that and cheese grits. I mean, with those two things, we can the economic development people, I mean, their job is a cakewalk.
Compared to other markets.
Exactly. I would think so. Absolutely. Right. So tell us a little bit about the mechanics of how it works. So if I want to invest in real estate and I don't have Lee Cantor pockets, I'm just a regular guy.
Yep.
Walk us through how we use your service to take advantage
sure.
of this.
Sure. So when you come to Groundfloor, we actually have a project up today, our first project. It's the first crowdfunded real estate project in Georgia.
Ever.
and so then, I go to your website, groundfloor.us?
Mm-hmm. You go to our website, groundfloor.us. Today we're invite only, so you have to request an invitation.
So someone's got to know somebody.
You got to know somebody.
Always.
We can hook you up.
Okay.
But soon we'll be lifting that restriction. And in general, you can come to the website. You can go shopping for a project that you like.
Okay. And what's an example of a project that might be there?
So today we have a multi-unit property or a multi-unit residence in Midtown that's being renovated. So it's a house that is It's about 100 years old. Mm-hmm. It's dilapidated. It's in disrepair. Our real estate developer is moving in to fix it up and lease it out. And as he does that, he's going to make a great improvement to that part of the neighborhood. I'm sure the neighbors are going to look forward to that. But more importantly, he's going to make a great return for the investors who come in and crowdfund that.
Because that'll be rented out, so then they'll have monthly income coming in.
They will. This is actually a one-year loan. So this is actually a construction loan. So if you come to Ground Floor today, the first step is to sign up for Ground Floor. But once you've done that, you're eligible to pledge to invest in the property. Once we have, like Kickstarter, achieved the funding level of $300,000, we will...
Then you invest in it.
We'll close the investment. We'll collect the money. And then 1 year later, the developer repays the investment with interest. Now, the first people to come in on the investment get the best interest rate. So I think right now on our website, the interest rate is paying 9.5%.
Oh, wow.
Secured. Now, and that's the unique thing. So you put your money up. You can invest as little as $100 and as much as $5,000.
$100 and I can get involved in this and learn about it. And,
yep. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you can dip your toe in the water, right? I mean, you can live vicariously. If you've watched house flipping shows on cable and you want to be a part of that and make a little money on it, dive right in. It's only $100 and you get your money back in a year. And it's a debt. So the developer owes you the money back. And in fact, if he fails to pay you back, Ground Floor has the right to move in and foreclose just like a bank would.
And then, okay, so now I do this one thing at the end of the year. I can reinvest back in, or I can keep getting in as involved as I want to be.
Absolutely. So we will shortly be expanding our investment options. Next week, we're offering our next property. We have a roadmap to quickly expand over the coming months into more properties throughout Atlanta.
Now, what if a property doesn't hit the threshold? Like, say you say you need $300,000. What if you only get $200,000? Like on Kickstarter, the deal just goes away and I get my $100
back. Yeah, I mean, if people aren't interested in the deal, and what we're finding right now is people are very interested in this class of deal, but if people aren't interested in the particular deal for whatever reason, when we launch this next deal next week, you'll be able to follow the deal. And so we want to make sure we have enough.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we want to make sure we have enough followers on the deals, and that's why we can put up a lot of deals onto the platform over time. Let people follow them, make sure there are enough followers. If there are... once there are, then we'll launch the funding campaign. I think that'll de-risk it for the developer. That's important for the developer to know when he's going to get his money and how likely it is. So, in the event something didn't pan out, didn't fund fully, that's what we do. We'd end the campaign.
All right. So I pledge the $100.
Yep.
But I don't actually spend it yet, or do I? Do I lock up $100, put it on my credit card, or what have you? How does that work?
Well, when you make the pledge, you don't have to pay. So you wait till it's just like Kickstarter. You just wait till the campaign. It's a pledge. So, we're counting on you.
You're so once they hit that threshold, then you're in for the money.
Then you're in for the $100.
Right.
Then you're in for the $100. Mm-hmm. And then is there a way for me to keep tabs on the progress of the project? Because I could see all kinds of cool stuff, maybe even like pictures of the rehab or something, right?
Exactly. So the developer wants to involve – I mean, the developer has an incentive to involve you in what you're doing, in what he's doing. And that's why I say you get to live vicariously.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the time, expertise, or money to go become a real estate developer, and it's a very risky sort of thing to go do if you don't know what you're doing anyway. So you get to follow a guy who knows what he's doing, has done it before, and is putting your money to work, and you kind of watch your money working, right? I mean, we like to say, your money's sitting at the bank working for minimum wage. Get it a job in construction, right? You can watch your money work.
Well, and work with your kids. Like, what if, like, you did that with Max or I did that with Kelly, and we invested her $100, right?
It's even less risk for us. We'll have our kids here.
Removes my risk. Teaches my kids. Now, there is risk. We could possibly lose our $100.
It's possible. There's risk in any investment.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. But what a neat...
So now, how is this different than a REIT? Because isn't a REIT where I just invest in kind of a mutual fund of real estate investments?
Well, we're really cutting out the middleman here. Basically, we give you the power to assemble your own REIT in a way.
Because I'm doing it property at a time. I'm not investing in a portfolio of properties.
Right. But it's important to remember that REITs have different models. And some REITs will invest equity, and they're long-term players, and you'll earn income from the rents, and then when they sell properties in their portfolio. Some REITs do debt as well. It's an equity product that you're buying into.
So you don't do the income, the monthly income?
No. We think what we have, the notes that we're offering, is a better product for the retail investor. When you look at the suite of investment options that are available to the average person, we're talking about on the low end of the spectrum, savings accounts, CDs,
sure,
maybe a mutual fund or a bond fund. And if you have the time and inclination to educate yourself, you could open up a Schwab or E-Trade account or a TD Ameritrade account. What we're providing you with is a turnkey investment product where you can view what it is you're investing in, get comfortable with what it is you're investing in, drive down the street and even see what it is you're investing in, and with a click of a button, get yourself in a product that's going to return you something potentially 10 times more than a CD.
Now, what is the objective at the end of the year, whatever the length of time it is for you to sell it, or is it doesn't matter if you sell it or not, that I'll still get my return?
That's correct. I mean, the developer is basically being held to a loan. In the same way that the developer is being held to a loan that a bank would give them.
Right.
One of our marketing tags that Brian came up with is we let you be the bank in a way.
Right.
So the developer is held to that agreement, and they're going to repay the loan as per that agreement.
Okay. Do I need a credit card for the pledge thing, or are I just going to give my name?
Just a checking account.
Just, you know, checking account. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was going to have Kevin do it right now while we're on the air, but we'll do it. But no, I'm going to go in and do this thing.
Good.
I want you guys to come back and we'll talk about the investment.
Well, you better hurry because the rate is going down. I'm sure there are listeners logging in, beating you to the punch right now. It's probably down to 9.25. Do I hear 9?
And it'll just decline. This graduating scale that the closer you get to the 300.
I mean, it's just there's only a certain amount at each rate. And the closer we get to the full 300, the lower the rate will go until it's gone.
So now you guys are here in Atlanta doing this, but you're not based here, right? You're out of North Carolina?
We are based in Raleigh, North Carolina, right, in the Triangle.
We have a Georgia subsidiary that we're operating through. So there's a ground floor Georgia.
And then, but are your primary investors, are they going to be Georgia people, or are they going to be people from anywhere?
Well, for this project, because we're utilizing Georgia's very tidy exemptions.
So then they're going to be
Georgia-only investors. But it's an ideal incubator for us to introduce this concept and perfect this concept.
Right.
And, of course, we're going to take it nationally.
Right. Now, what, in your mind, does that profile of the ideal investor look like?
In my mind?
Yeah.
I think our product is enticing to everyone from your children who are looking to learn about investments with
right.
their first $100. To more sophisticated investors who could be high net worth individuals but are looking to get some easy exposure to the real estate asset class.
Right. I mean, we've done some real estate shows here, and we're told that there's people from outside of the country just coming mm-hmm. in here and buying blocks of houses.
That's right.
So this gives the regular person who maybe isn't that savvy an investor an opportunity to participate in this.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's probably a non-issue now that you've been on Atlanta Business Radio, but how are you getting the word out? How are you letting people know about this opportunity?
Well, so this is a what we are doing, and we're not the only people in Georgia who are innovating with unaccredited investor crowdfunding. There are several of us. All of us are
in
creating,
real estate.
Well, not in real estate,
right?
No, that's
yeah, right.
But
in general,
carved out this little corner of the sandbox
yeah.
here.
Not yet in real estate. We're the only company with an active project that's crowdfunding real estate today.
And the only company with Nick.
That's right.
Right.
That's your
exactly.
secret sauce.
That's
right?
My secret. He's our secret weapon. I'm sorry. What did you ask?
I don't remember. We're just talking. No, I was asking you how you're getting the word out. How are you letting people know about this?
How are we getting the word out? So, you know, the fact is we're all, ground floor included, we are creating a new market. With a new company in a new product mm-hmm. category that nobody's ever heard of. So there's a fair risk that we don't all get it right the first time.
Right.
So we decided to soft launch and to be very quiet and be invite only at the beginning. We learned mm-hmm. a lot in that first 2 weeks. We only invited, you know, a handful of people, a couple hundred really, to take a look at the investment. And we interviewed them, took the market feedback, and we want to make sure we build a great product at every level. So want to make sure it's a great investment. We've taken great care to make sure that what we put on the platform is a great investment. We want to make sure that the experience of getting into the investment is something that people can understand easily and that they enjoy doing. And we want to make it fun. I mean, we want to make this something that's quick and easy and accessible to everybody. And that takes a lot of hard work. So we haven't we really haven't emphasized getting the word out yet. We've been
on either side, not on in terms of getting the projects either, or maybe a little more on that side than on the.
Well, we've just been proceeding very deliberately and quietly. So we'll start to get the word out in the new year.
But isn't optimal, your optimal investor isn't somebody that has tons of money. In order to scale this and replicate it, you need just regular people to really buy into this. And that's where the...
Yeah, and I think building a good consumer product for the mass market takes time.
Right.
You want to be deliberate about that.
Right, you don't want one guy in Atlanta to buy all your, loans.
Yeah.
That doesn't help
That's why we limit it to $5,000. We don't...
So you want the smaller investor.
Well, that's what we're looking for.
Right. Yeah. Just a lot of them. So you need them to be aware of this and educate them about the opportunity.
Absolutely.
This is the coolest job. I mean, I'm the father of two daughters. I spent the first part of this segment talking about women in technology, and you just have to love Annika. I mean, what a pleasure to have that and to visit with Denise and Jennifer. And now I look at an opportunity for unaccredited investors to get involved and profit from progress. And what a marvelous way to teach Kelly and Katie the opportunities that are available in investing. Man, I love this job. It beats the heck out of work.
I mean, I think the thing that fired us up about this was that, you know, a lot of people talk about not getting a piece of the pie and how unfair that is.
Right.
You know, it's actually more insidious than that. It's not that we're not getting a piece of the pie. That may be true in some cases. The real problem is that we're getting presented with something that people are telling us is pie, and it's not even pie.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing.
It's worse.
That's the real problem.
Right.
Right? That's the real problem, and that's what we want to fix.
So now if people want to learn more, the website again?
Groundfloor.us.
But you're on Facebook, LinkedIn. You're everywhere, right?
Well, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, and we're on Twitter.
And then in order to get this kind of secret handshake, they can email you. What's the best way for them to
get
that?
All you have to do is sign up for an account, and you'll receive an invitation automatically.
Okay. Well, thank you both for being part of this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. Thank you to all of our guests today. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.